Previously on Coffee with Kenobi.
Here in the Zare house, if the package ain't pretty, the package is gone. True? True story?
This is very true. This is we have recycling to prove it.
This is Vanessa Marshall, Harrison Dula from Star Wars Rebels, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
Hello, and thank you for joining us in the Coffee with Kenobi studios. I'm your co-host, Dan Z, enjoying a piping hot cup of coffee in a 40th anniversary Star Wars mug from Star Wars Celebration Orlando, and I'm here with today's guest co-host, the co-host of Legends Library, Randy Theriault, as well as CWK blogger Jay Krebs. Tom Gross will join us later in the show for news. Making Star Wars host Jason Ward will be joining us to discuss Forces of Destiny, and in the coffee chat, I'll share a conversation I had with Rebel Force Radio's Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack from Star Wars Celebration Orlando. A few days ago, in the mail, I got a magazine entitled The Statewide Standard, and it is the magazine published by my alma mater, where they just kind of showcase what's going on at Illinois State University, which is where I went to school and got my degrees. And they will just talk about different things going on. And in this particular month's episode, I was the cover story, which was really cool. And it was just about how I teach Star Wars and Shakespeare. I know, Jay, you never use Star Wars in your classrooms either, right?
Oh, never. You know, that's taboo. Come on.
Exactly.
It makes Congratulations, by the way.
Oh, thank you so much. It's my mom was very excited. As was my wife.
That's it. I didn't know it was a cover story.
Yeah, it was. The cover, I'll send a picture and tweet it out or put on our Instagram, the CWK Instagram. But it's got the scroll, and it's kind of cool to see my name in that scroll highlight. So it was neat.
I think that, that you know, your love of teaching, your love of Star Wars, and yeah, I feel like anybody that's passionate about something is going to give it their all. And obviously, you have... you care for your students, you want them to learn, but at the same time, when people see that you have a passion and then it's real and it's authentic, especially for high schoolers, when high schoolers, they can sniff out, you know, something that's not authentic. And when you're presenting material in a passionate, authentic way, I think that you get buy-in, and that gets you buy-in to talk about whatever it is you want to teach someone. So... good for you, man.
Well, thank you. I very much believe in empowering students to unabashedly be themselves. And I just think that's so important. I know, Jay, you are a champion of this as well.
Oh, yes, definitely. And I love how you said, you know, you have to be yourself. And that's true in any profession that you're in. But I've found just, and I'm entering into my 24th year of teaching. It's crazy. Oh. But you're so right. You have to be yourself. And, you know, you can go through all the pedagogy. And again, it doesn't matter what career you're in. And the professionalism that you learn is wonderful. But you always have to have that little gem of who you are. And I know for myself, you know, wearing my Star Wars clothes to school and, you know, the kids appreciate that. They really do. They know that you're for real. And Randy, like you said, they can sniff it out. You know, if they know that you're being fake, I mean, high school kids, they're not dumb. I've got two of my own too. So, you know, they can figure it out if you're being fake. And it's always important to be true to you. And like you said, Dan, it sends a message to the kids that it's okay to be who they are.
Forces of Destiny is now out. We heard about it first at Star Wars Celebration Orlando, and we have seen 3 episodes so far. And in a few moments, we're going to have Jason Ward of MakingStarWars.net on, and we're going to talk about it in much more length. But before we get to him, I just want to get both of your kind of initial reactions to
Randy. You want to go ahead and start it off? Sure. I'll hand it to you first. Go ahead.
Absolutely. I watched all 3 episodes several times. By myself, with coworkers, with little kids. I'm able to, in my job, I'm a children's pastor now. And so I run videos before as the kids are coming in. And so I'm using the Star Wars videos as a way to kind of entertain the kids when they come in. And then, you know, when it's go time, we start and we do worship and we do the teaching and all that kind of stuff. But they're always looking for the new video that Pastor Randy's bringing in or whatever. And so I've been using kind of the trailer and kind of And the kids are loving it. I'm loving it because I love the moment I saw Ray and I heard her, the music, and I love the texture of the character as far as the, you know, the artwork itself is, it's simple, but it's so creative in how they're using this particular medium, the 2D kind of animation. I'm loving every bit of it. I wish there was more of it. I guess that would be, but I get that I get that that's the format that they're using. But if they're wanting us to kind of walk away wanting more, they're sure doing a great job of it. So I'm having a great time. How about you, Jay?
Well, it's so great, Randy, too, that you have an audience of kids that you can present this to and sort of bounce that idea off of them as well. And, you know, of course, like I said, I have two boys that are high school age now. So the one is still, my 15-year-old is still kind of into Star Wars, and he actually hasn't seen any of the episodes yet. But the 2D animation that you were speaking of, and I know I'm echoing some things that I've been hearing online, but for me, the first thing I thought of was the Clone Wars micro-series. Mm-hmm. And, you know, back on Cartoon Network. And definitely, I absolutely loved that. And my kids loved that. And that was something that really added to the lore, you know, more so than anything else. And, you know, we're getting these little snippets of information that, you know, help us to understand, oh, well, that's what that thing was in the desert. You know, it wasn't just a set of eyes. It was this whole creature. Or, you know, it's teaching lessons about caring for another person or working together, teamwork. So I can definitely see, Randy, how you could bring that into your teachings as well. Mm-hmm. And I think for little kids, this is definitely going to be something that's going to be attractive to them. And it's attractive to me too, you know, as an adult, but I know not everyone's happy with it, and that's okay. Yes. 'Cause they don't have to be.
Exactly. Exactly. I've seen it multiple times as well. I watched them all the first time just by myself. And then on sort of a moment of inspiration, I was down here with my son, Mason, who's 4. And I thought, maybe I can show him this brand new one. It was the second episode. So we sat on my lap in my office, and we watched the second episode. You know, they're all about, 2 minutes, 45 seconds, something like that. And he was laughing. He was gasping. He loved it. And I was thinking, this is the first time I've shared something actually Star Wars, it's on a screen with him, and he loved
wow.
it. And we watched the first one, and then we watched the second one again, and then shortly after that the third one came on, and he's been walking around the house without any prompting from me saying yub yub ever since.
Aww.
So I found an it's so great. So I found an extra.
That is so precious.
Oh, it is so sweet. And I found an extra of my Kenner Wicket, so I gave him that, and he's walking around telling everybody this is the BB Ewok. So, I mean, we're definitely going to get into it with Jason here in a few moments, but so far, for my money, it's just a joy. It's a joy.
Well, and I think that's where the magic is going to be, is with reaching that younger generation, because, you know, obviously with the movies, they can be great, but you know, there's that fine line, like you said, with a 4-year-old, where maybe they're just not ready to sit down in front of the big screen and to see Star Wars in that kind of scope. And, you know, there's one thing I also teach childcare, and there's a good rule of thumb is that for every year of a child's life, that's about how many minutes of attention span that they have, give or take. You know, every kid's going to be just a little bit different. So, you know, you're talking about these 2 to 3 minute little chunks of time that are perfect for little ones, because they can gobble up these images and these lessons, and it's just perfect for them.
I agree. I like that short attention span thing. That's interesting. And that's smart. I mean, it's smart. They obviously know story and they know marketing. So we're going to continue this conversation into the next segment. Up next, Making Star Wars, as Jason Ward will be on to discuss Forces of Destiny some more. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
You're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee with Kenobi is sponsored by Penguin Random House Audio. Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Try listening to them on audio. Featuring sound effects and music directly from the movies, Star Wars audiobooks are the definitive listening experience. From brand new audiobooks such as Thrawn and Empire's End Aftermath to our blockbuster movie tie-in editions, you'll have plenty to keep you entertained. Visit penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/Star Wars for sample clips and to start listening now. Coffee with Kenobi is also sponsored by the Star Wars digital card trader collecting app from Topps. If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars digital card trader collecting app from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to the Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, and much more. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars digital card trader collecting app from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for. A huge reason for the success of our show is our CWK Patreon contributors, including Jason Hall, Dennis Keithley, Angela Souse, Aaron Harris, David Strutt, Jim Capron, Connie Shee, Mediocre Jedi, BJ Smith, Nick Deco, Adam Leonard, Mark Suter, Mike Audette, Eric Struthers, Jared Cantor, and Swara Sala. It's a monthly donation that goes towards show expenses, equipment, and travel, and there are a number of incentives for you if you are considering being a CWK Patreon contributor. A brand new thing we've added, I shouldn't say brand new, it happened a few weeks ago. Anyone who contributes $5 or more will automatically get a follow from our CWK Twitter feed, and you'll also hear your name at the beginning of each show, as you just heard members of our CWK Patreon family mentioned a few moments ago. $10 or more will get you access to a Google Hangout, as well as the previous. $35 or more gives you all the preceding things I just mentioned, and you get a CWK coffee mug. $50 or more is the same, but instead of getting a coffee mug, you can pick a t-shirt or a mug, whatever you want. As the incentives go on and on, $50 or more and up, you will get to co-host a show with me on Coffee with Kenobi. And that would be anywhere from one show to two shows in a month to possibly an entire month sitting in a chair next to me and sharing a cup of coffee with me and our listeners. And that is something that we are very excited about offering. I think it would be great. We have so many intelligent Star Wars fans who have a lot to say, and this is one way to make sure that happens. So if you have any questions, reach out to me at feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com or follow the link on our Coffee with Kenobi webpage or see the show notes for more information. We're delighted to have Making Star Wars with Jason Ward back to Coffee with Kenobi. And last time you were on, Jason, it was a long time ago. It was right when the newest season of Clone Wars came out on Netflix. And I believe you discussed the Yoda arc with us, if my memory serves.
That's right. Yeah, we did that fundraiser for Coffee with Kenobi, the fundraiser for Rancho Obi-Wan. And we talked about Yoda a lot on that. And when I got onto your show, finally, we kind of wrapped it up.
That's right. That was a really exciting. That was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we should do that again.
Indeed. We absolutely should. Well, we're on board. I'm glad you're on here for the premiere of Forces of Destiny was just a few days ago. And as of the time of this show, we have seen the first three episodes. What are your overall impressions so far?
Overall, I feel like in some ways it's similar to the Genndy Tartakovsky Clone Wars microseries, but that show was different in the sense that, at least so far, it had much more of like the superhero genre like embedded through it. You know, like stuff like Mace Windu just like leveling, you know, crowds of droids like they were nothing. And this one seems to not necessarily be that epic in scope, but it still has like a lot of that same kind of spirit to it. You know, there are things about it like, you know, Rey picks up BB-8 like he's 5 pounds, and Wicket's able to put a rope over two stormtroopers and pull them down. So it is still somewhat in that sort of like superhero-y, like, you know, comic book universe kind of vibe to it. But at the same time, I love that in 3 minutes, we're getting really solid Star Wars. And, you know, it's told really, really effectively. And I have a 2.5-year-old girl, my daughter, Penny, and we watch them together. And that so far has been the coolest thing because it's hard to get her to focus on a show. And so far with this, it's working. So I'm kind of glad because Dad wants to buy the dolls.
We were just talking about that. My little boy He's four, as you know, and he was completely riveted. I'd never really shown him anything Star Wars that wasn't just action figure or book related. And he had a very similar reaction. He was just completely glued in. In fact, right before we started taping, he really wanted to watch it again. And I said, sorry, it's time to go to bed, buddy. So I have a feeling I will be watching it quite a bit in the next few days, especially since it seems we're going to get a new episode every day, I think.
Yeah, it seems like we're getting one a day until... How many episodes are there? Like seven or something?
I think I heard it was until the 9th, and then there's something else happening on the 9th. Go ahead.
Between 12 and 14 episodes, does that sound right?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Let me double check.
I think that's what I saw, too, was 12 to 14.
Yeah, I think it is.
So is there... we've all mentioned the Gendy series. Is there a chance that this is going to become a little bit more of a... is this going to become a larger series? And this is kind of the Gendy version of Forces of Destiny for the future, kind of like what the Gendy Clone Wars was to the Clone Wars animated series that basically blew up. It just became amazing. Is that the impression you guys are getting, or where are they going with this? Because I haven't heard anything beyond just these shorts that we're seeing right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know that Disney and Lucasfilm and the history behind it, they are master marketers and they are masterminds. And I'm sure that there's a lot that's way down the road that we don't even know about necessarily. But I think that they're also putting this out there to sort of test the waters in a way, like you said, to see what kind of reaction they're going to get and perhaps maybe add to it. And I'm hoping that they add a lot to it. I'd actually like to see even the flip side, not just the heroes, but the anti-heroes as well. So maybe we can get some Asajj. You know what I'm saying? You see where I'm going with that?
Mm-hmm.
Jason, I would think that a lot of this has to do with where it goes, has to do with maybe how the toy line does in the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe this is kind of like the test bed for it to put some shorts out that make us Star Wars fans excited, but you know, also kind of act somewhat as an ad for the line, if you will. And then maybe if that line is successful, then they'll continue it. And that's when we'll get like, you know, Asajj and stuff like that coming in and telling more and maybe even expanded stuff. Cause even the micro one, that one started off, you know, really short, and then they ended up bumping it up in time and it kind of grew by the second season that they did. So maybe, you know, maybe something like that will happen here. I would be pretty jazzed if they did more, because what I like about it the most so far is that while they are female heroes, it doesn't really matter. You know, it's positive. It's women characters getting the spotlight, if you will. But it's not like I never feel like, oh man, I'm watching Barbie in Star Wars and it's been like changed or something. It just feels like Star Wars. And so it's kind of cool that a lot of young girls are going to get to see this and it's not being changed for them. They're just getting marketed towards. I think that's pretty cool.
It's very cool. And it very much feels like Star Wars. I'm glad that you said that. And there's also an interesting aspect of this too that I think is so appealing. So we've seen three episodes and no one's been killed. No one's been injured, really. So the myth of redemptive violence that's kind of prevalent throughout Hollywood in film, culture, TV, whatever, that's gone in this. I feel safe showing my little boy this, knowing that, it's called Star Wars. I understand that. But this is something targeted towards a different age group, probably. Most specifically. Now, that doesn't mean that anyone can't enjoy it, because we're all of various ages here, and we all love it. We all think it's very engaging. But I think it's telling a story in a very unique, effective way that is more family-friendly. And to me, that might be one of the most exciting things about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think...
I was just going to say, I like that we had kind of the callback to the monster from the first episode and the second episode, and that the good deed that she did in the first one sort of came back to help her be the hero in the second one. I kind of like how those things happened in it. You know, if we're going on the positive sides of it, you know, a lot of that used to be a theme in Star Wars more often then I think as of late, it's kind of the creature that you think is a nobody ends up being the key that's going to save the day, like whether it's Yoda or Jar Jar. And in mm-hmm. a way, this kind of this monster, too.
Yeah, there's some tight connectivity. And with that, there's been, of course, some various degrees of reactions to it. Anything from how does this fit into the canon to some of the more, you know, negative, pejorative ways that people are describing it, which is certainly not something we give much voice to on Coffee with Kenobi. But so far, it doesn't seem to be affecting the impact that it's having because people are talking about this series.
Mm-hmm. For adults.
Well, I think you're always going to... Go ahead, Randy.
Okay, I was going to say for adults, I think that there's just some subtleties that, like, you know, Jason, like you said, that, you know, how they brought back the, you know, the sand creature, and how I thought that was a clever, like a little bit, I mean, plot twist and efficient in telling a story. And now between the two, 5 minutes. But I noticed that there was almost in a cinematography kind of way, there was a subtle little scene or little clip inside the first one where Rey is again running across the legs of the AT-AT that she lives in, and she grabs her staff just like in The Force Awakens. And I think that's kind of it's still telling the same story. Like that's something that she was familiar, that was a pathway that she was familiar taking, that, you know, running across her home in that way. And it just kind of had an artistic kind of storytelling, and that, hey, this is connected to The Force Awakens. This is canon. And so I think they are in a very subtle way, appealing to adults and saying, hey, this is part of that grown up movie, or, you know, middle-aged grown up movie that we all love, but it's just in a format that's for children. But, you know, don't discount it because it's 2D, you know, a 2D animation thing. There's still a story being told here. And I think story is always what wins out, whether we're talking about the books or the movies or whatever. If it's story, if it's a good story, it's appealing to everyone.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree,
you know, not everybody's going to be happy with everything. You know, you're always going to have those that are going to nitpick this or this, and that's okay. You know, everybody can find their own niche. That's why there's so many things to the Star Wars universe, that there's always going to be something for everyone. But as far as putting those pieces together, like you said, Randy, you know, one of the ways that we make connections with, you know, our brains is by repetition and rehearsal. So for little kids, the more times they see something, the more it's repeated, the more they make connections. So seeing things over and over again in the Star Wars universe, whether it's for a child or whether it's for an adult, is how we reach those aha moments. Oh yeah, I've seen that before, and this is how it fits in. So, you know, I think that in that way, it really does bring a lot of things full circle for a lot of fans, whether they're adults, whether they're children, that there's always going to be something for everybody. And, you know, and as far as like the whole being female oriented thing goes, yeah, it's great. I mean, it's wonderful, but I just know that when I was a little girl, I never really thought about Star Wars being for boys or this was for girls. It was, if I liked it, I liked it. Great. And I know that there are some that do suffer from bullying and that type of thing for choosing different things that they like or that they don't. And I guess I was just fortunate, or maybe I was just naive and I just ignored everybody. I don't know. But, you know, I just feel like the adults make more of an issue out of it than the kids do. You know what I'm saying? So I think 100%. For the kids, it's just, it is what it is for them, and they love it. And that's great.
When I was about 4 years old, I had a hard time finding the Princess Leia action figure, like the original, like white hair bund one, you know, and I couldn't find it. I wanted it really, really, really badly. And I remember there were some kids who wouldn't play with Leia. They did think it was, like, you know, not cool. It didn't really affect me in that same way at all. And like at that time, like Princess Leia was one of the main three heroes, mm-hmm. one main three or four, you know. With Lando, Luke, and Han. And it was just like, those were the four you had to have. And then She-Ra came out, And I loved He-Man, so I was like, She-Ra and He-Man. Oh, that's He-Man's sister. Awesome.
And Teela.
Like, it wasn't...
Teela.
Yeah, and Teela, man. And Evil Lynn. That was my jam, by the way. Anyways.
nice.
Anyways. No, but the point is, yeah, as a kid, it really, I didn't see it that way. I saw it as friends, and I wanted to hang out or have adventures, imaginary adventures with those friends. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like we actually regressed from the 80s into the 90s on that level. And then now we're kind of living in the aftermath of that. And I'm glad that Lucasfilm and in this instance Disney are helping to sort of rectify that to some degree.
I'm gonna quote Don Henley, the more I know, the less I understand. And I'm not saying that towards myself. I'm saying that I agree with you. As the years have gone on, we seem to have devolved in some ways through this. I remember when I was a kid, similar to you, Jason, I had Princess Leia. I got her. I didn't think twice about it because she was one of the figures. She was one of the main characters of the story, and I love the story. And I remember being aware that maybe there would be a stigma against me because I wanted to buy a girl action figure, but it didn't prevent me from doing it. I very much felt that too, oddly enough, when it came to G.I. Joe when Scarlet came out. She was one of the first figures I ever got. She was in the original line, and she had a crossbow, and she had these ninja stars on her glove, and I just thought, yeah, this is like the G.I. Joe's Princess Leia. So it didn't occur to me at all that would be a thing. And like we had said before on this, and I'm really happy that we're bringing this up too, when we're watching these Forces of Destiny episodes, you don't think gender, really. You just think, these are cool characters, and I'm rooting for them. I mean, we love Rey. We love Princess Leia. So of course we're going to love these.
And my question is, if this medium, I guess, is like so, it's so innocent, and it's so, how simple do you have to be and not have to field criticism? Like, this isn't meant to be, this isn't Spielberg, you know, it's not like, it's not Schindler's List. It's a 2.5 minute cartoon. How simple do you have to present a form of entertainment? I guess I don't understand. What are you gaining by being critical of a 2.5 minute cartoon for kids, really? I mean, what is it that you have to gain? Like, and if you are critical, like, I just don't understand that. And you're a fan of Star Wars,
right? Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at some point, every single one of us have been in the same, same situation. Like, you know, for us, maybe it was, you know, the special editions, and for the generation next, it was Jar Jar Binks. And now we have a generation that's like, oh, I love The Force Awakens. I love, Rogue One, but you know, and 'cause that was my first exposure to it, but man, this little cartoon thing is so lame because of blah, 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 blah. Like, is this what we're going to experience every time a new generation is exposed to Star Wars? And it is a little bit frustrating for me because they're not. I just feel like they're not the producers of these shorts. They're not. I guess they're trying to break ground, maybe socially, or maybe trying to, you know, produce a piece of entertainment that is YouTube friendly, in a 2.5 minute snippet, and trying to capitalize on that particular style of entertainment. But I just don't understand what you gain from personally or any other way from being critical of something that seems so innocent and so simple.
My really shallow theory on it is that we come from a lifespan, us old people especially, who were in the Star Wars drought, and when there was something Star Wars to really work for you, it had to be like the thing you were waiting years for. And I think some people still have the knee-jerk reaction to things as if Star Wars, since 2013, some of my favorite Star Wars stuff has come out, and some of not necessarily favorite Star Wars stuff. You know, there's some episodes of Rebels that I could get, you know, don't care if I ever see. There's also a ton that it came out that I love. And it, I realized that it's not going to end. It's just going to keep. And so just enjoy what you enjoy. And if you don't like something, then you don't have to pay attention to it.
That's right.
And I do think it's important that that my kids can watch these cartoons on their YouTube Kids app, for instance. Mm-hmm. Like you can't really get Star Wars on the YouTube Kids app unless it's somebody playing with toys and trying to get them just to buy things. You know, it's like I'm unwrapping toys or something just dumb. But this stuff right here, it's actually like little stories, little moral stories that are entertaining, and they could get it on YouTube Kids. And that can't be dismissed, because in 20 years, we're going to be podcasting with some little kids who were right. 3 or 4 years old when this came out. And that was their Star Wars, man. You know, it's like,
absolutely.
The way I look at it.
When our kids are interviewing each other, the next generation.
Yeah, perfect. Technology too is such a big drive, I think, in all of this. I mean, you think about it, 40 years ago when Star Wars first came out, who were the critics? The critics. And who read stuff that the critics wrote? Maybe some people did here or there, but now everybody's a critic. So you get online, you get on Twitter, you get on Facebook, you get, you know, wherever you get your social media fix, somebody's a critic. And so I think that that's where a lot of, you know, like with Randy, what you were saying is how are people being so critical of this? I think it's just that we're so much more aware of the criticism now than we've ever been in the past. And it's in our face so much more. I mean, there's been times where I've just shut down Twitter literally over the last few days and said, I can't even look at this anymore, quite honestly, because, you know, you have to put your own feelings into it, your own thoughts into it. And everybody's entitled to like or dislike what they want. I'm not saying that they should or shouldn't like Forces of Destiny, or they should or shouldn't like the comics or whatever. But, you know, I agree with you that here we have this beautiful piece of little cinematography, I guess you could call it, this cartoon that is great for kids. And it reminded me too of, not to go off on a tangent here, but, you know, of being so overly critical of something that's for kids. It just reminds me too of cosplaying, because, Dan, I know, you know, that I love me some cosplay.
Yes, you do.
So, awesome. You know, and sometimes, and thank you so much. I do appreciate that, because sometimes I hold myself back almost, because I sometimes think to myself, well, if I put this out there, is somebody going to look at me and go, well, you're only maybe 75% accurate in your cosplay. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. Not that I really care necessarily, but somebody's going to think it. You know what I mean? And I think that that's where we are with this. And no matter what comes out in the future, it's just going to be that way. It's the nature of the beast. What do you guys think?
I think it's a platform, though, that matters too. Same thing with cosplay. Like, you're not going to show up in a Star Wars movie. The platform is that you're going to a convention. You want to express your enthusiasm for Star Wars. And on YouTube, if you made 22-minute episodes on YouTube, they mm-hmm. wouldn't get watched. People on YouTube Absolutely. Don't watch 22 minutes. They watch about 3 to 5 minutes on YouTube of each video. So mm-hmm. it's actually appropriate for the platform.
Absolutely. I think as far as, like, if someone doesn't like this particular series or episode or whatever, that's fine. I don't need anyone's permission to like what I like, and I'm very secure in what I like. it doesn't impact me when people say things like that, because some people just complain because they like to complain. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. That is, again, why God made the mute button on Twitter or Facebook. So I utilize that.
Or from my microphone when my dog barks.
Yeah, no worries. Your dog
the canines approve.
Yeah.
I just never, when I hit the first one, I hit play, I never thought to myself, oh, I hope I'm going to like this. Like, I just saw it for what it was. It never dawned on me that I wouldn't like it, or that I would. I was like, oh, that was cute. Well, I bet my kids are going to love it, you know? Right. And I never thought to myself, okay, I hope I like, this better be canon, this better fit.
I'd never have liked this expression, but it is what it is. So when it's on, mm-hmm. I just think, okay, here's something new Star Wars, and I watch it. I don't think if this is good, it will cement you know, my lifestyle. It doesn't matter to me. I mean, the Phantom Menace, I've said this before, the Phantom Menace taught me to have my expectations level and just drink in what happens and then just appreciate it or don't. You don't have to like everything. In fact, I think it's quite disingenuous if you do. I mean, your no, if you say no, your makes your yeses mean more. So it's okay not to like everything, but, you know, respect when people do like it, ultimately. The only problem I have with Forces of Destiny so far is that Maz Kanata's opening quote talks about the choices we make now that it's destiny. Well, actually, no, destiny doesn't involve choice. Not really. That would be free will. But that's a conversation for another time.
That would be a good one.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Jason, thank you very much for coming on. What projects do you have coming out, and where can people reach out to you if they want to ask you a question or just say hello? And I feel like the odds are good that everyone listening to Coffee with Kenobi knows where to find you, but just for fun, let us know.
Right. Yeah, you can find me at makingstarwars.net, at makingstarwars on Twitter, and on my podcast, Now This Is Podcasting.
That's right. The award-winning Now This Is Podcasting.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, man. Thank you for having a cup of coffee with us, Jason. Jason Ward, ladies and gentlemen. After the break, Tom will be here with news. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Try listening to them on audio. Featuring sound effects, top-notch narrators, and music directly from the movies, Star Wars audiobooks are the definitive listening experience. From Han Solo to C-3PO to Admiral Akbar, you'll recognize all of your favorite characters. Listen to movie tie-ins like Rogue One and The Force Awakens, to book titles such as Thrawn and Empire's End Aftermath, to classic audiobooks like William Shakespeare's Star Wars. With Star Wars audiobooks, you'll have plenty of Star Wars listening to keep you entertained. Visit penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/Star Wars for sample clips and to start listening now. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app features incredible images from many aspects of the saga, including the original trilogy, the prequels, The Clone Wars, Rebels, The Force Awakens, and Rogue One. It's the quality you have come to expect from Topps. It's also easy to get into and really fun too. Your favorite Star Wars characters, scenes, and moments are in every pack. To get started, download the app for free from iTunes or Google Play, and then be sure to open the app each day for free credits to spend on card packs from the Cantina. Plus, if you can't get what you're looking for, there's a place to trade with your friends as you complete your Star Wars collection. And if you're an experienced collector, there are exclusive cards, special inserts, and autograph opportunities for you to enjoy. Don't worry about missing the cards and sets you want either, as you can sign up for notifications right on the app. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps can be downloaded for free from iTunes or Google Play. Be sure to download the app and start your collection today. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps is available now. And remember, these are the cards you're looking for.
With us, of course. And Tom, before we jump into the news, really quickly, what do you think of the first few episodes of Forces of Destiny?
Oh man, I thought they were so much fun. I watched them, of course, with my 10-year-old daughter, and she thought they were so cool. She goes, now are these supposed to go with the rest of the stories? And I said, well, why do you ask? And she said, well, because I'm pretty sure that Princess Leia is wearing that dress in the movie. And I said, that is really good. I'm really impressed. And so, no, they've been fun. They were a lot shorter than I was expecting. I know that they were to be called shorts, but those are really short, but really fun. I've really enjoyed them so far.
Yeah, they've been great. And by the way, we were talking earlier with Jason about kind of the show and how long it's going to be. There are 16 of them total. 16 wow. Total shows that are going to come out for it.
Is that
what you had found out as well, Jay?
I think I heard somewhere around 12 to 14, but maybe with the ones that are coming out on YouTube, that would round out the 16 perhaps.
This is all from Entertainment Weekly. They're going to have, let's see, my computer keeps jumping around. First eight shows will be released every day until July 9th. And then all eight shorts will be released on the Disney Channel. And then later in the year, more episodes are going to be released. So that's where we are with it.
Oh, that's going to be fantastic. Really enjoyed those.
Agreed. So what do you have for us today?
Well, in case you missed it while you were out enjoying the 4th of July fireworks, R2-D2 and C-3PO made an on-stage appearance at the U.S. Capitol with host John Stamos on the PBS 4th of July performance, A Capitol 4th. R2 and 3PO were there to celebrate 40 years of Star Wars as Jack Everly, the principal pops conductor of the Indianapolis and Baltimore Symphony Orchestras, led the National Symphony Orchestra's performance of John Williams' Star Wars main title. During the performance, clips of the Star Wars A New Hope film were shown to the television audience, along with images of the orchestra's performance. And while I was watching the telecast, I wondered what emotions are stirred in people when they hear a Star Wars song performed out of context of a Star Wars film or conversation or concert. And so what do you guys think when you hear a Star Wars song just out of nowhere?
That's a good question. Sure, it brings me to tears sometimes. Sometimes it makes me laugh. You know, it always stirs some kind of emotion in me, no matter what, whether it brings me back to a certain scene in a movie, or maybe if it's from a certain movie or a certain aspect of that movie, maybe who I was watching it with or what I was going through in my own life at the time. So, you know, for me, it's a lot of different things.
I agree. I think it depends sort of on the context and sort of the where, the who, what, where, when, and why of when you're experiencing it. Because sometimes, at least in my house, about half the things you touch in my office, Star Wars music is going to play. So I think, okay, who's messing around in my office? But and then there will be times when you'll see it in fireworks. You know, when we were at Galactic Nights at Celebration Orlando at Hollywood Studios at Disney, they showed the fireworks and the Star Wars music was replete, and I just felt goosebumps. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there's definitely something about it. And I knew this was going on because my mom had texted me. We were at a local baseball game, and happy to say I was not hit by a foul ball this time. But
she texted good me, thing.
Hey, they're doing some Star Wars stuff on the fireworks on PBS. And I thought, oh, wow, I hope I get to see this. I have not seen it yet, but I'm sure it was amazing.
I'm always looking for, if it's not one of the main themes, I'm always looking for what, you know, trying to identify what scene is that, and especially hanging out with my kids. And I'll try to, you know, do the voice or whatever, you know, oh, is with you, it cannot be done. You know, I'll try to find whatever dialogue goes over that particular piece of music, if it's not one of the main, one of the main themes, but, definitely the most, the particular moment that stands out the most for me is watching the last celebration and the Princess Leia tribute. Oh, yeah. Carrie Fisher tribute. Yeah, and Jay, you're right on as far as you know, here I am, a 45-year-old man sitting in front of my computer crying as I'm listening to just the beauty of that particular piece and you know,
well, the emotion too. Again, these things are attached to specific memories, like you said, Jay. They're attached to specific moments and things that are important to us in our lives. No matter where we were experiencing them, that they mean something to us. I think that's one of the reasons why Star Wars, you know, as George Lucas has said, it's the oxygen of Star Wars, because it just is so powerful. You know, in Mass at church, I had a priest who said, "When you sing, you pray twice. Music is powerful."
Mm-hmm. Oh, it so is. And if I can share a really, really quick story, one of the things that I went through back in 2006 was I actually had a brain hemorrhage and I spent 8 days in ICU. And one of the things that actually got me back on track after all of that was playing my flute to Star Wars music, because it helped me regulate my breathing, helped me to do a lot of rehab, I guess you could say. And so the music of Star Wars for me is so incredibly important to my life, literally, that it brought me back to being whole again. So that's a very special aspect for me.
Wow, that is a powerful story. I love that.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And And I have to say, when I was watching that last night, because Dan, you know me and my crowd anxieties. If I can come up with any excuse to not be around large crowds. So my wife and I sat and watched this show, and I was perfectly happy with it. And it was really neat when the song played, and it took me back, because here it is, along with, you know, John Philip Sousa songs and you know, classic American tunes, and then Star Wars comes on, and it brought a lot of different emotions to me. And the other thing I was thinking of when I was writing this story was how when you go to these days, a lot of like college sporting events. I'm thinking in particular the University of Notre Dame. When the defense is holding an opponent, they often will play the Imperial March, mm-hmm. and just cool. How strong and powerful that is. And that's a totally, like, in my eyes, an out of context use of that song, but using an emotion from the song to, you know, to drive a sporting event or a crowd or something like that. And so, I don't know, I like your stories a lot better than mine, a lot more powerful, but certainly music is an emotional thing, and when it comes and it's attached to a film and a story like Star Wars, that's huge. Well,
did you say before we move on? Did you say that John Stamos was hosting it?
Yes, that is correct.
He's a handsome man, I'm not ashamed to say. I actually met him when I worked at Hollywood Studios years ago, and I'm happy to say that I was much taller than he was, but that's about where the comparison stops.
That's great.
Fantasy Flight announced on July 5th that they will be releasing the third Force Pack in the Alliances cycle for Star Wars the Card Game. The new Force Pack is titled Desperate Circumstances. Now, for those of you who haven't played the game is set in the original trilogy time frame. It is a two-player card game where one player is in command of the light side and one player commands the dark side. Each has the choice to work with factions, such as the light side as the Jedi, Rebel Alliance, smugglers, and spies, whereas the Empire as Sith, Imperial Navy, scum, and villainy. The Force Packs add player options. According to the release by Fantasy Flight, Desperate Circumstances will continue to explore the different bonds between the game's affiliations and reaches far from the Rebel and Imperial headquarters to follow the recruitment of new forces from the fringes. The Force Pack will include 60 cards where players will find mysterious dark side witches, daring scouts, a new version of the galaxy's deadliest assassin droid, and a very special relic of the Old Republic. Now, I know from playing this game a few times that the expansion in Force Packs adds a dynamic way to combat an opponent. Also, I want to mention that the art on these cards is really cool and has a feeling of a collectible type of value. Oh, yeah. And, well, quite frankly, I will admit that I think I lose in this game a lot because I become so engrossed in just looking at the cards. Mm-hmm. Well, that's probably just a bad excuse for poor strategy. But do any of you play Star Wars the Card Game, or what is your favorite Star Wars tabletop game?
Well, a few things. This is something that I hope you do in Game Club, because this might be the only time that I actually have a chance to play it. And you said this is the third set?
Oh, this is the third deck of this particular, it's the Force Pack and the Alliances cycle. So it's okay. The third deck of that, just that Alliance. There are probably half a dozen or eight or nine or so different Force Packs in the game.
I think it looks amazing.
I think maybe I'm hesitant because, I'm pretty geeky when it comes to, all right, so here it is. It's like confession time. All right. So,
all right.
So I had, this is it. I had, a huge collection of Star Wars miniatures. So you were asking Tom about the, you know, tabletop games and stuff. So the Star Wars miniatures, published by, Wizards of the Coast. I had like 3,000 game pieces. And I still have like 20, 30 maps. Like, I was so far into it, and I was so bummed when Wizards of the Coast kind of let the license go and it was handed over to Fantasy Flight Games. I have a few of the X-Wing game pieces, and I have the starter pack. And I do have all of these cards. I've watched the tutorial so many times at trying to learn how to play. I've got, so far, I've got... both of the both packs and the starter pack as well. They are beautiful. The artwork is amazing. And you're right in that sometimes I just open up the boxes and just look at the cards themselves because the artwork is amazing. Maybe I'm just I just can't track with the rules of the game, but I do appreciate it. And maybe I really do miss my Star Wars miniatures game because I was so far into it. My son and I played the Star Wars mini so many. In fact, that's what got me into podcasting originally. Is oh, really? I started listening to Star Wars miniatures, Star Wars Miniverse. Actually, if those guys are still out there, I hope they are. That's what got me into podcasting in the very beginning. And then once Wizards of the Coast kind of went let the license go, and I started to look for other podcasts about Star Wars, and that's when I bumped into Coffee with Kenobi and other shows. Did. Yeah,
the Force brought you here.
That's right.
Yes,
our whole it was family a destiny. Podcast is better because of you guys.
Because of my addiction to. We used to call it plastic crack because, I mean, we couldn't walk. My son Josh and I, we could not walk into a Target without. Well, let's just go see if there's any. Because by the time, by the end, I mean, they were giving this stuff away, and we were buying. So.
Wow, I'm just staying silent because that's one realm that I have not gotten into. So, I mean, I've played nowhere near what you guys are talking about, you know, as far as the card games and things go. I mean, Top Trumps is probably as far as I've gone. So, yeah.
Well, Randy, I'll tell you, Dan, our friend Caleb and I have played the Star Wars, the card game three or four times. And Randy, I will say the rules are complex. To get things started, as are many of the Fantasy Flight games, I will say, to get a Fantasy Flight game, and from my experience, to get them started is really challenging. But then once you get the basics and the turn of the order and all of that going, then they are great games, and you can really develop them into fun things. And Dan, I know I've said it on the show before, but one thing I love about the Star Wars games is it gives me, the player, a chance to take my heroes or characters that I know and create my own story. It's like a toy. I mean, it's a toy for me, but it's in game format. And so this is one of those that is just, it's a lot of fun to play. And you know, it does involve an investment of time for sure.
It's not at this level, but, and I put this on our Coffee with Kenobi Instagram, but yesterday and today, my son and I, we played the original Kenner board games. We played the Escape from the Death Star from 1978.
That's a great one.
I saw that post. Fun.
And then today we played the Hoth Ice Planet Adventure game. So it was fun. And I'm sure these new games are amazing too.
Perfect.
Well, Dan, just know there'll be an invite for Game Club coming this upcoming school year for you. And we'll throw down on Star Wars, a card game.
All right.
For sure. All right. And finally, we have another San Diego Comic-Con Star Wars exclusive revealed this week. According to the San Diego Comic-Con blog, Toymakers Jack Pacific is bringing a unique figure of Darth Vader. Jack's revealed on Instagram that they have a 20-inch Hildebrandt Darth Vader-based 1977 Brothers Hildebrandt promotional poster, which I'm quite familiar because I have the jigsaw puzzle of it. The Vader figure is shaded like the poster is, and it comes in packaging that blends the Vader figure along with the packaging to continue a poster look to it. It's a very cool visual when you look at it. And also noted on the corner of the packaging, when one squeezes the legs of Vader, lightsaber action with lights and sounds will activate. The figure will retail for $50.
Oh my. This is another Comic-Con exclusive. I think it's cool how it's got the blue to it, because as you said, it mirrors that classic poster. And
this is one
that Tom and I were texting today about what to put in for the last news story. So we put this one in there because I think these collectibles are fun. I mean, Jack Pacific does nice work. That would be, however, a large collectible to bring home. It would probably require its own seatbelt.
Yes. I think so.
Yeah, you did pay extra for that. Maybe it's under the weight class. I'm not sure. But interesting. Yeah, anybody else think they would get one of these if they had the chance? I do not, by the way. I love it, but it's not something I would put in here. But I'm not sure what everyone else thinks.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. When we moved 3 years ago after we sold our dairy farm and built our house, I still have 17 boxes of Star Wars memorabilia in my basement, still waiting to be unboxed and put somewhere. So as much as I would love to have something like that, I just cannot justify adding more and more and more to the pile that is already down there.
Right. And Randy, real quick, what about you? Something that tickles your fancy, your Star Wars fancy?
No. I think I should stick with the books. I'm probably not, unless it's like a hardcover book. I typically don't bite on that stuff. I have, or it has something to do with Ahsoka. So I think I would probably pass on the Hildebrandt Vader.
All right.
I like your priorities, though.
Tom, was it something you would put in the studio?
No, it doesn't have the appeal for me. Although, just like with the Gentle Giant busts, I think there are collections out there that this Hildebrandt Vader would look very cool in.
Well, it's a beautiful piece, to be sure. And Jax was a nice work. The very first figure very first thing I ever got, my son, was the Kanan Jax Pacific. So I definitely appreciate him.
Well, neat.
Thank you again, of course, for being our CWK newsman. Have we settled on an official title yet for you besides CWK newsman?
I don't think so. That's starting to sound official every week that you say it.
It's
so
got
I think we're 2 months in and we're set.
We're set. Okay. Well, and so
I'm good with it.
Unless we have a new christening that happens, you're the CWK newsman.
That's me. I'll take the job.
Very good. Well, I am glad you got it, buddy. Well, thank you, Tom. We're going to take our break, and when we come back, I will share a conversation I had with Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack of Rebel Force Radio. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
You're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee with Kenobi was sponsored by Penguin Random House Audio. Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Try listening to them on audio. Featuring sound effects and music directly from the movies, Star Wars audiobooks are the definitive listening experience. From brand new audiobooks such as Thrawn and Empire's End Aftermath, to our blockbuster movie tie-in editions, you'll have plenty to keep you entertained. Visit penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/Star Wars for sample clips and to start listening now. Coffee with Kenobi was also sponsored by Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to the Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, and much more. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for.
All right, so we have an exciting treat here on Coffee with Kenobi. We've got the two legends of Star Wars and podcasting, Jason and Jimmy Mack of Rebel Force Radio. Gentlemen, pleasure to have you on the show.
Oh, so happy to be here.
Wow,
what a wild week here in Orlando. I mean, it's Star Wars heaven. Yeah. We're here. We made it.
Yeah, they started off with a bang. I mean, you know, it was one thing to hear all of those stories from the actors that we've been hearing for years and years with them on the circuit and other celebrations, but to hear them tell those stories in front of George, that was a real treat. That was a real treat.
And seeing Harrison Ford, that's Nirvana, isn't it?
Well, every time he comes out and does one of these things, you can tell that he is more and more impressed and humbled and honored by the love that he gets, that we still have for him. So I think it's great to see him here. I don't think we'll probably ever see that group of people assembled together on a celebration stage again, actually.
I agree with you.
Yeah. Unfortunately, unless they're all around for the 50th, but which would be great. And Mark Hamill, I don't think you could keep him away. But and I mean that with love. I think he's just, he is so in. He's one of us. But for the other ones, you know, there's a sense of detachment. And but it's great to have an opportunity to remind them of why we're all here.
Yeah, very well said. You should be a podcaster. You've got this down.
Thank you.
well done.
We have to.
You had to see that. That was pretty good.
We have to plug his dongle back into the wall, I think. He needs a charge.
This is a family show. So what about you? First impressions of the poster and trailer?
Oh, I am loving the new poster. It really captures a classic essence of Star Wars, in my opinion. And I love how Rey and Luke are placed opposite against each other with a lightsaber dividing the two of them that shifts from blue to red. And I think that's hinting at something. And then, of course, the trailer, always very impactful when a new Star Wars trailer debuts, especially at an event like Star Wars Celebration, where the energy level just cranks up to hyperspace, and, you know, it's light speed, and it's just an amazing experience and a great buzz, and a great reminder of why we always come back to these things is for the collective communal buzz that we all get off of Star Wars. I think that was very evident here in this building yesterday after everyone saw that first trailer for The Last Jedi. What did you think of it, Dan?
It's ironic we're talking about. I thought it was wonderful when I first saw it. I had to see it four times, and I couldn't even hear it because I was standing right here, and everyone was, you know, loud, and the microphone were not working very well. So I didn't really get. I finally got to hear it with the earbuds, and I thought it was great, and I thought it was kind of understated in a way.
Yeah, I think they're holding back. You know, it was really important for me to remind myself that this is not comparable, nor is it intended to be comparable, with the trailer we saw at the last celebration. This is not, there was no Chewie, we're home moment, and there wasn't meant to be. This is a lot more along the lines of the trailer we saw on Black Friday in 2015. So I'll forgive them for that. I will say I thought that the poster kind of upstaged the trailer a little bit for me. Some of this imagery, and we're watching it right now, seems very reminiscent of Force Awakens. So I walked away from this one not feeling like we saw much new. But look, we're hearing Luke Skywalker talk for the first time in almost 40 years. So that's exciting. Yeah.
They just screened the trailer again here in the main hall. Thank you. And yeah, I had to move the mic up. Dan was holding it down to swank height, and I had to move it back up. So you're unfortunately like our mic stand, Dan. I really appreciate you for doing that.
Anytime.
But they just screened the trailer here in the hall and got a big round of applause again. And the moment that really strikes me visually are those vehicles that fly down into the atmosphere and they strike down onto the onto the ground of this planet, this white barren rock planet, and they drag this, as Billy D. Williams would call it, an appendage. They drag it along the surface and it makes the surface bleed. I find that very interesting.
I agree.
I mean, that's an amazing visual, something we've never seen in Star Wars before.
And then I found myself saying, oh, no, please not another pod race moment.
Yeah, it looked pod racy, yeah. But which, you know, put it in the Star Wars universe very well because it was something that we could compare it to. But also we had the familiar stuff, too. We had dogfights that looked very consistent with the sort of special effects work we saw in Rogue One. So I think they've found something that really works for them, and they're going to continue to bring things like space battles into the movies and everything, which is, you know, truly a Star Wars hallmark. So I'm seeing a lot of fresh, I'm seeing a lot of traditional, and I'm seeing a lot of excitement here in this hall for The Last Jedi. So I know I can't wait.
Indeed. Well, hey, gentlemen, an absolute pleasure, and we're honored to have you on the show. Have a great rest of the con.
Thanks, man. Thank you very much for having us and stopping by.
Thanks, Dan, and may the Force be with you, bro.
This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Before
before we get to email, I want to thank our CWK sponsors, Penguin Random House Audio and the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. Please support them the way they support our podcast. And remember to listen to new and archived shows of Coffee with Kenobi wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, our website, Player FM, or wherever you enjoy listening to your favorite shows. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest, and we'd love for you to check us out there. Be sure to listen to our CWK family of shows too, including The Awesome Legends Library, Rebels Reactions, Comics with Kenobi, and Lattes with Leia. A big thanks, of course, to Randy Theriot and Jay Krebs for having a cup of coffee with me. How can people connect with each of you? And please plug anything that you have going on.
Randy, would you like to go first?
I was going to let you go first, Jay. Aww, ladies first.
Okay, yeah, well, I can definitely do that. Absolutely. Well, I am very blessed to be part of the Coffee with Kenobi family, and I am currently on an every other month or bi-monthly blogging basis, and you can find my blogs there under Jay's Galactic Expressions, and I've also kind of dabbled in some geekery fashion as well with my Core Worlds Couture line of blogs that I have on Coffee with Kenobi as well, And you can find me most easily on Twitter. And my Twitter handle is at Joyce Krebs, J-O-Y-C-E-K-R-E-B-S. But please call me Jay. It is the name of my true self. And I'm also appearing on, you know, podcasts here and there and everywhere. I've been on Starship Sabers and Scoundrels recently, as well as a recurring guest on Rebels Reactions. I've been very fortunate to do that. And so you can hit me up wherever you can find Star Wars stuff. I'm probably there. So, and thanks, Dan, for having me on. This has been great.
Oh, absolutely. You have a, we'll keep a mug ready for you anytime.
Thank you.
Well, you can check me out on the Coffee with Kenobi website. I am I'm the official blogger or reviewer for the Star Wars audiobooks.
That's
and
right.
We're about 3 weeks away from Inferno Squad, which I'm really looking forward to. So keep an eye out for that. Also, Legends Library, a podcast, part of the Coffee with Kenobi network, which we're super proud to be part of that network. We are in the middle of the New Jedi Order series, or actually we're kind of on the tail end, which yeah, is pretty cool because it's about an 18-19 book series that we're kind of bringing to a close here. And we're in the midst of, right now, everyone should be reading the Force Heretic trilogy, which...
Love that one.
It's pretty cool. I also threw in the middle of that Rogue Planet, accidentally just kind of threw it in there because I thought it was getting about time to read that book or listen to that book again, and it fit in just perfect with the content from the Force Heretic trilogy, which is pretty awesome. You can reach us at Legends Library at coffeewithkenobi.com. And I just want to also throw in a plug for my friend, Samantha Eklund. I had the privilege of narrating her book, and you can find that on audible.com. And the book is called Let There Be War in the Beginning. And so I just always want to plug friends, especially if I had something to do with that particular project. So I think that would be appropriate to plug her book for her since I was the narrator. So
absolutely. Yeah. It's nice to be on the show with you two because you two have some of the absolute best voices in all of Star Wars podcasting. You really do.
Well, thank you, sir.
Yeah,
that's a very high compliment.
Well, gee whiz.
Easy to tell the truth. And, of course, Randy, you've probably been on the show more than Corey because you are always our outro voice.
Yeah, yeah. And I think what's funny is I had to go take that. I don't think I actually have that anymore. So I was looking for it. Yeah. To put it, I think I had to take it from one of your, I don't know how I ended up finding it. I think I went back to one of our old emails because I lost it. So that's kind of
it. Yes. Well, and now this is actually a good time to thank you publicly. I've thanked you many times on text and Skype and whatnot, but this whole thing with the mixer, and we've upgraded everything, the studio, the equipment, everything with Coffee with Kenobi. And anytime the show sounds great, it's because of Randy. Randy spent so much time, so many hours, both with me and on his own, of his own accord, helping to make this show the best it can be. And I can't thank you enough, Randy.
Oh, thank you. It is an honor to be to be a part of the Coffee with Kenobi family, and I'm just lucky to be a part of it. And so, thanks for letting me.
You bet. Thanks again to both of you for being back on the show. We're going to be back next week with two new co-hosts and more Star Wars talk. This is the podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along. Move along.